Final hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Back into the Titans here to start hour number three. Titans coming off the bye week. They'll take on the Texans at Nissan Stadium on Sunday afternoon, trying to get win number two on the year. Fans may be hoping against that they stay at one win. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I did want to get to some text before we get into some of Mike McCoy's comments from yesterday. Jeff on our text line, he does not like Cam Ward. He's not a fan of the Cam Ward selection. But I love the way Jeff texts. It's so matter of fact. He does his Cam Ward hate in a very respectful manner. A couple of days ago, Friday, he texted in. I guess I was talking about how I said there's no Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or Joe Burrow in this upcoming draft class. And he goes, interesting thought. I noticed you didn't say there is no Cam Ward in this class. And then in our last segment, he was saying the Preds have been much like the Titans, going for a hopeful franchise quarterback instead of being smart and rebuilding the other team positions first, huh? So, Jeff, I appreciate it. It's a very nice way to go after Cam Ward. I understand the sentiment of wanting to build up the team around your young quarterback before you draft him, but if you believe that you have a chance to take a franchise quarterback, you take him. It's the easiest thing in sports. If you believe that the guy at the top of the draft is your franchise quarterback, you don't pass on him. You don't trade out of it. There's no amount of picks. Maybe there is an amount of picks, but there is no realistic amount of picks that you would take to have you not pick Cam Ward if you believe he's your franchise quarterback. So that's where we are. And guess what? The Titans, as it stands right now, are in position to trade back and rebuild the roster anyway. So,
and also, too, we have a lot of people saying that Mike Borgonzi deserves the benefit of the doubt based on what he was able to do in the draft last year.
Yeah.
Well, Cam Ward was his guy.
Right. And
does Mike Borgonzi still deserve the benefit of the doubt?
Borgonzi, again, what I thought was the most impressive press conference we've seen from a member of the Titans staff in years last week. And he backed up Cam Ward 100% and said that they've been impressed by some of his ability. They just need to find more consistency. And that will come with development, but also with the roster getting better around him, which you hope will happen this year if they can add a little bit to his weapons. You need a number one wide receiver. Probably need another veteran presence in that room. And I don't know about the offensive line. The offensive line's kind of in a spot where it's like, how do you improve it? I don't really know. Because Skoronski's going to stay. He's been good. You're going to give Latham another year, and hopefully he's healthier next year and can continue to develop. Dan Moore, you're keeping him for next year. He's going to be your starting left tackle. Really, the only change you can make is replacing Kevin Zeitler, maybe Lloyd Cushenberry. But you would hope that the offensive line is better if Latham can be better next year. That's going to be important. So I think Cam Ward, you got to just take your lumps this year. It's not going to look great. You hope to see more improvement down the stretch. But you give number one overall picks quarterbacks time, and we'll see what he looks like next year. Mike McCoy did talk yesterday about some of the adjustments Cam is making, and I thought it was important to hear that. Mike McCoy said that he went through and he cut up a bunch of film of Cam and showed it to him yesterday morning, and they went through some of the things that they want to improve, whether that's mechanically. He talked about footwork and release point and target line and decision-making and everything that Cam Ward needs to be better at. And I like to hear that they're being critical in the bye week, because this is an opportunity for Cam Ward to look inward on himself. When you're getting ready for a game, pretty much all of the meetings, I'm sure, are just about how do we want to attack X team. This week, how are we attacking the Broncos? Then it's the Rams. Then it's the Colts, and so on and so forth. But the bye week gives you an opportunity to, instead of saying, all right, what are the Texans going to do for us to us this week and how do we attack them? You can look inward and say, what do I need to do better in general to become a more consistent quarterback? So, coming out of the bye week, I would love to see a more complete game from Cam Ward. We've been saying this for weeks. Maybe it's not realistic to see Cam Ward when he's kind of been thrown into the fire to make developments on the fly. But coming off this bye week, I would like to see Cam Ward show marked improvement and have a complete game against the Texans. Does that mean they win the game? No. But to go out there and from quarter one through quarter four, look like he is making strides as a quarterback and keep the flow of the offense going, because that's just something that we haven't seen so far through his rookie season.
Yeah, and I think, too, Dan Orlovsky brought up a great point where with head coaches, what makes a good head coach is good players. And you don't have a lot of good players on this team.
No,
we talked about the Jets. They traded away Quinnen Williams. They traded away Sauce Gardner. But those were two very valued players, and they were able to get a good chunk of return in that. With the Titans, the only person that you could trade and get a good return is Jeffrey Simmons. Outside of that, there's not a lot. So these people that are coming quick to hate on or bash or try to dunk on Cam Ward, well, look at who he has around him. Calvin Ridley, who's your highest paid receiver and one of the highest paid players on your team, has dropped the ball left and right.
Yep.
And he's supposed to be a good veteran. So you're relying on Chim Dike. You're relying on Alec Aomanor, also traded away released Tyler Lockett. So you're relying on two rookies to be your leading pass catchers.
Yeah, and rookies struggle in the NFL. This is not anything new. Yes, there are rookies who come in and have immediate success, but for the most part, rookies struggle in the NFL. Look at the top four in the draft order right now. Titans are obviously number one. Then at number two, it's the Saints. Number three, it's the Giants. Number four, it's the Cleveland Browns. What do they all have in common? Titans, Saints, Giants, Browns? Not the Jets.
Titans, Saints, Giants, Browns.
Yeah, what do they
all
have?
They all don't have good rosters.
Correct. That's one.
Records.
They're all starting rookie quarterbacks.
All starting right now. Rookie quarterbacks. That was my next one.
Yes, they are all starting rookie quarterbacks right now. And Cam Ward, you picked him number one overall. He should be the best of those rookie quarterbacks. Right now, Jackson Dart has played better than Cam Ward. There's no getting around that. I've never denied that Jackson Dart has played better than Cam Ward. But rookie quarterbacks struggle. You still have to believe in the traits and the ceiling for Cam Ward. That's what you drafted him for. You drafted him based on the ceiling, not based on the floor. And right now, he's been close to the floor. But he's only nine games in, and I like to hear at the very least, this coaching staff, I don't believe in them overall, and I'm very excited that a new staff is going to be coming in to work with Cam Ward after this year. But Mike McCoy at least talking about the adjustments that they're making and at least trying to get more out of Cam Ward after the bye week is going to be important. I think that this team needs to show improvement this week on offense. At least from the last time you played the Texans. You scored no points. So, yes, any points would be an improvement. But this Texans defense ate your lunch last time out. I mean, Derek Stingley had an interception. Danielle Hunter had two sacks. Will Anderson made plays. This defense crushed you last time. I want to see the Titans make some adjustments, be better on third downs, be better on first downs, be less predictable on the offensive side, and let Cam Ward make some plays. This is a game where you might be seeing a backup quarterback on the other side. I would expect C.J. Stroud to be back, but we haven't heard definitively yet. The Texans aren't a great team, but they do have a lot of players on defense, and the Titans are coming off long rest where they've had the opportunity to change some things up. You've got to be better. Be competitive in this game. You don't have to win, but be competitive. I heard yesterday in the press conference with Mike McCoy, it might have been Terry McCormick who asked the question. He said that you've gone 20 trips across the 50 with no points this year. That is crazy. That to go across midfield 20 different times and come across with no points in nine games, that's twice a game that you're crossing midfield and not even getting a field goal. Sustaining drives has been the name of the game for the Titans. And you have to be able to put yourself in more attainable third downs and convert those third downs when you get into third and four, third and three, third and two. Because even when the Titans have stayed ahead of the sticks, they've struggled to move the chains. You look back at the Colts game when they had that third and one and ran it into the line and then punted from the 43. You got to sustain drives better. And the way Mike McCoy talked about it, he said that's been the focus during the bye week, is being better on third downs and working on Cam Ward through some of the issues that he's had. Let's see what works out on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side. We'll take your texts and calls. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly alongside you on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly talking Titans in the final hour of the show. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour once again from Key West as they make their pilgrimage down there. Had a lot of fun yesterday. We talked about it earlier that apparently they did stand-up comedy last night, so make sure you stay tuned for Chase and Big Joe. I would love to hear the aftermath from that.
Well, I'm actually producing the first hour of their show
there
today.
You go.
So I plan on asking them about it, how it went, who bombed, if there are any videos. There better be some videos.
I would make a guess that their question of the day is going to be something to do with their comedy sets last night. So excited to hear that again. They're down in Key West. That's coming up at noon. Talking Titans, coming up on their second game against Houston this season off the bye week, and the offensive line is going to be a focal point for this team this weekend because you've got two legit edge rushers on this Texans defense in Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter, I didn't even realize this until yesterday when I looked it up. He had 3.5 sacks on Sunday against Jacksonville. He was
probably the best player in the NFL last week, Danielle Hunter. He was incredible. Couldn't be stopped. Him and Will McDonald for the Jets. Will McDonald had 4 sacks.
Danielle Hunter may be one of the most underrated players over the last 5 years in the NFL. What he did with the Vikings when he was there and now with the Texans, he doesn't get talked about enough as one of the elite pass rushers across the league. He was unstoppable on Sunday. So the Titans tackles are going to be, they're going to be tested, certainly, on Sunday against Houston. And Mike McCoy talked about this yesterday and said that at the very least, those guys have shown that they're willing to work through some of the struggles. They're not being stubborn and making excuses. They're coming up and saying, hey, I got beat. Here's why and what I need to get better at. You don't have Bill Callahan anymore. You've had to go to your assistant offensive line coaches, which I'm sure was a little bit of a hiccup for these guys, but they struggled against Hunter and Anderson last time out. You've got to be better this time and give Cam Ward a chance to make some plays. Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, I'd like to see 3 to 5 run plays from Cam for 15 to 30 positive yards running. And I'll get to the rest of your text, Dustin. But that's also something that Mike McCoy mentioned yesterday, was Cam Ward, when he gets out of the pocket, it feels like there are two things going through his mind. It's make a play downfield, and throw it away. Those are the only two things going through Cam Ward's mind. Mike McCoy made the point yesterday of wanting Cam Ward to be more willing to tuck it down and run with it. And I like that because even though Cam Ward isn't this dynamic runner, again, he's not Josh Allen, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can run if he has to run. He has the athletic ability. He is not a statue in the pocket. And I would like to see him being able to take what the defense gives him more often. There have been times this year when he's on the run, he's trying to make a play downfield, and he tries to throw it on the run into tight coverage instead of just taking the 5 yards that he can get if he just tucks it and dips out of bounds. He doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson, but being more of a willing runner who can take those short gains instead of trying to make plays downfield, which can lead to turnovers, or just dirting it, which there are times when you do have to just dirt it and throw it into the seats, but there are also times this year where Cam Ward has had the opportunity to just take off and get a couple of yards, and it feels like he's a little hesitant to do that because he's so hyper-focused on trying to make a play with his arm.
And Cam Ward is not a dual threat, but he can pick up a first down if need be. And a lot of these times when he escapes the pocket, he's running to throw, not running to run, which is
yes,
what you would want in a pure passing quarterback, but there are also sometimes you just have to know that mental clock has to go off, that internal clock, like, okay, I have to get out of here, and let me try not to make a play. Let me just pick up the first down and keep the sticks moving. That's that next step in the progression of Cam Ward, and I think about that Colts game. He had an opportunity. He was this close to the line of scrimmage, throws back across his body, incomplete on third down.
Right.
Here comes the punt unit. If you run, you easily pick up the first down.
Yes, you are 100% right when you say that he runs to throw. He has great escapability. You look at his movement in the pocket and the ability to feel pressure and get out of there. He knows how to do that. Look at the first Texans game The first drive of the game, when he rolls right, makes Will Anderson miss, and throws it back to Alec Iaman or downfield, like, that's what Cam Ward can do. He is athletic enough to make people miss in the pocket, but that's the type of play that he's trying to make, is get outside the pocket and then find somebody in a backyard football game downfield. That works sometimes, but it doesn't work all the time, and odds are you're going to have more success if you look to run the ball once you have an opportunity than trying to force it down the field. Because, yes, Cam Ward has the ability to make some ridiculous throws on the run, but I do have to be able to you have to be able to take what the defense gives you. And if they're sitting back in coverage while you're outside the pocket, take your 5 yards and get out of bounds. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, I'd like to see 35 yards from Helm, 60 yards to Chig, 35 to 50 yards on 4 to 5 targets for Iamanner, and so on and so forth. He says, do it all in hurry-up offense, lots of RPOs, and Spears 35 yards receiving. It's a good point. The hurry-up offense, I don't know. I was kind of in that boat, too, of tempo, 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 and I think there's time for tempo, but Nick Holtz made a good point when asked about that, of, like, if you go in tempo all the time, that hurts your defense. Like, if your defense is out there for a while, gets off the field, maybe holds the Texans to a field goal this weekend, and you come out and go tempo and go 3 and out in 13 seconds of game time, that doesn't help your team. You have to be able to move the football in order to earn the hurry-up offense.
That's one of the biggest criticisms of Tennessee's offense, the Vols, when it doesn't work, is they go so fast, and when that offense is operating at the level that Josh Heupel wants to, if you go 3 and out, it's less than a minute off the clock.
Right.
So that's not exactly – and you get a lot of backlash if it doesn't work that way. So that is going to be the caveat to that whole situation.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't really thought about when Nick Holtz brought it up, because, you know, on the surface, you see Cam Ward in that Cardinals game when they had to go into hurry-up offense and move the football and the success that he had, and you're like, why not just do that all the time? There is a reason you don't do that all the time, because you can't lose time of possession 47-13 and have a chance to win the football game. So you got to earn the opportunity to do tempo, but I do think the Titans should use more of it when they do get a first down or two on a drive, and we'll see if they can do that this Sunday. Dustin from Hopkinsville also says, let the strep talk emerge once again. I can't believe they haven't brought his butt up just for Cam alone. It's pure ignorance to me. And we had this the Restrepo conversation yesterday of, are we at the point where you might as well? Probably. I think there's really nothing to lose by giving him a chance. But teams tell you what they think of players by how they use them. If you've got a player who's not getting on the field at all in a game, that's how the coaching staff feels about him. If you've got a guy who's only on scout team and on the practice squad, and you've elevated Mason Kinsey and James Prochet over him in back-to-back weeks, that's how that team feels about him. So I get it. Xavier Restrepo, it's the unknown. It's the mystery box, right? You know what Mason Kinsey is, so you don't want to see Mason Kinsey, but Xavier Restrepo may not be any better than Mason Kinsey. It's just the mystery box of, we haven't seen him yet, so we don't quite know what his ceiling and his floor is.
I understand fans want to see Xavier Restrepo. He had a phenomenal college career. I get it. But this team, bringing up Mason Kinsey, promoting him to the active roster, bringing up James Prochet, tells you what Xavier Restrepo has done in practice and where they view him on the depth chart. So I believe at some point, maybe closer towards the end of the season, we will see Xavier Restrepo in a game. But now's not the time.
They're going to give him a chance. There's no reason not to give him a chance, especially as you get later into the year. But I don't think it'll be this week. I'll put it out there. I don't think it'll be this week. I would say wait till December, and maybe the Titans will start thinking about bringing Restrepo up. I could be wrong, but my guess would be they're going to go a few more weeks with the group that they have, especially if Calvin Ridley is back healthy. I think they want to get a look at what that trio of Ridley, Iaman, or DK looks like when they're getting most of the snaps. Like, before Ridley got hurt, Tyler Lockett was still on the team. DK was being used sparingly on offense, pre-Brian Callahan being fired. I think you're going to see more of a Ridley, Iman, or DK trio, and they're going to see what that brings before they elect to, you know, break the glass and take Xavier Restrepo off the practice squad and see what he can bring. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. One more thought. Tajay Spears, I saw Dustin brought him up too. I want him to outsnap Tony Pollard this week. And it's nothing against Tony Pollard. I like Tony Pollard. He's consistent. And he should get touches, for sure. But you want to know what Tajay Spears can do for you. Can he be a weapon that you can rely on moving forward? You also might get Kalel Mullings back soon, as his practice window was open. I'd like to see what he can do, maybe in a goal line situation once he gets healthy. Tony Pollard's not going to be on this team next year. The longer you wait to start phasing him out, I think the harder it's going to be to tell what you need at running back moving forward. I'd like to see more Tajay Spears this week. And once Mullings gets healthy, I'd like to see him start getting some touches.
I'd love to see Kalel. I hate that we haven't had the opportunity to see him yet, but I think this is maybe the reason why Tony Pollard was not traded at the deadline, because Mullings is hurt.
Yeah. That's a good point, is maybe they didn't want to make it just Tajay Spears in that room. Do they have any other running backs on the roster right now?
Chestnut.
Oh, right. Julius Chestnut. He never goes away.
He just keeps sticking around.
I mean, him and Mason Kinsey, they'll be here after the nuclear war ends. They don't go anywhere. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll get to your text coming up next. Also, big news in the NFL yesterday that could affect the AFC playoff picture. We'll get to it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly alongside you. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis is with us for the full show. Excited after a week off to have Corey back. We'll get into all the headlines around the Titans and college football. Big weekend on news too, I believe. Are all three games that Vandy fans need to be watching on News 2 this weekend? That'll be something to talk to Corey about.
That wouldn't surprise me. ABC's been killing it with their games this year.
I believe they are. So there we go. If you are a Vanderbilt fan, you don't have to change it off News 2 this weekend. All three of the games that you need to be paying attention to, Notre Dame, Pitt, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Texas, Georgia, are all on ABC. So, Vandy, significant rooting interest in those games. So we'll have to talk with Corey about that tomorrow when he's back with us. Getting away from the Titans, staying in the NFL. News yesterday, Joe Burrow's practice window opened. He has not played since week two. Does that change things in the AFC? The AFC North is a mystery right now because the Steelers are in the lead, but does anybody feel good about the Steelers winning that division with the way that they've played lately?
Probably the way they played Sunday night, absolutely.
Right,
not.
Sunday night was bad. They did beat the Colts 2 weeks ago, so give them credit for that. But I don't really see them holding off Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow if they're coming back. Like, Lamar's gotten the Ravens back to 3 straight wins. They're 4-5 now. They still play the Steelers twice. And you look at the Bengals, Joe Flacco can maybe keep you afloat this week. It's a huge game because the Bengals play the Steelers. If you lose this game, it becomes less and less likely that you have any chance to come back, because you'd be, what, 3 games back at that point with 8 to go. The math doesn't math if you lose to Pittsburgh this weekend. But if you can beat the Steelers, which it's not impossible with Joe Flacco. Flacco has shown enough that maybe you can stay afloat and beat Pittsburgh this week. But I don't think you can stay afloat if you don't get Joe Burrow back by next week. The next 3 games for the Bengals after the Steelers this weekend: Patriots, Ravens, Bills. Sorry, Joe Flacco, he's an ageless wonder, but he is not going to be able to beat those 3 teams with the team that they have currently constructed around them. You need Joe Burrow back. It's a very similar situation to last year of the Bengals are in a hole. Can Joe Burrow dig them out of it and get them to the playoffs? Last year, the answer was no. It's very interesting. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to. But This is earlier than I thought Burrow's practice window was going to be open. I will say that. They said, what, 12 weeks off the top? 3 months? Right about that?
I think they originally said somewhere around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's returning, they're trying to get him back by Thanksgiving
right.
is very, very wild to me.
You're in early November, and you have an opportunity to maybe get him back. I don't know if you rush him back, but this team needs him because the schedule isn't going to be easy. You've already beaten the Steelers once, so if you beat them this weekend, that gives you the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh, which is huge. But the rest of your schedule, the end gets easier. You play Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns at the end of the year. So if the Bengals are 500 heading into that stretch, they've got a shot at the playoffs. That means you need to win four of the rest of your games against the Steelers, Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens. So five of those games, you got to win four of them. That's not going to happen with Joe Flacco, but way earlier for Joe Burrow to be back. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, we get the Unk Bowl again this weekend. Yes, you do. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco.
Hey, the Unk Bowl was great last time they played.
It was 33-31. They went back and forth, so could be a fun one. Dustin also says, wonder if Joe Burrow has peaked. Injury prone, went to one Super Bowl, can't play 10 games a year now. I don't know about that.
Injury prone thing accusation is correct.
Right.
But I mean, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL.
I do agree about the injury prone thing, but look at his stats aren't everything, but look at his numbers from last year. Yes, they didn't make the playoffs because that defense was atrocious.
Gosh, they were terrible.
But last year, 70% completion percentage, 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He scored 2 more times on the ground. So 45 total touchdowns, nearly 5,000 yards, and less than 10 interceptions on 70% completion. I believe in Joe Burrow when he gets back healthy, but you are right, Dustin, about the injuries. How many times has he played full season? 3 out of his 6 years? That can't happen if you're going to be a franchise quarterback, right? Like, how many games has Patrick Mahomes missed in his career?
Not a lot.
Josh Allen
has never
missed a start, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Mahomes... The only time that I can remember Mahomes missing a start is when they were already... They locked up the one seed in the AFC, and then Carson Wentz or the backup would come in and play.
So he's played 16 games the last 2 years.
Oh, he did have an ankle injury.
Yeah, he had the ankle in the playoffs a couple of years ago. But in every year that he has started, he has played at least 14 games. 2019, he only played 14, so he missed 2. But he's gone 16, 14, 15, 17, 17, 16, 16. So Patrick Mahomes has been very consistent on playing almost every single game. Josh Allen has the start streak that he's on that I think he's played in every single game in his career.
Yeah,
so
that's why when we're talking about the elite quarterbacks in the AFC, when Burrow was healthy, I put him at 2, but since he's not, I mean, it's a tough argument. I understand Josh Allen or Lamar or whatever, but since Joe Burrow is not healthy, it's hard to make the argument that he's better than any one of those guys. So
I think Burrow's for sure top 5, but you're right that when he is healthy, look at what he's done in the playoffs. Like, he's the only quarterback not named Tom Brady to beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC playoffs.
And he's been to a Super Bowl, something that Lamar and Josh Allen didn't do, and he did that with the 30th-ranked offensive line.
Right, and beat Kansas City in Arrowhead to get there. He also beat Josh Allen in Buffalo a couple of years ago in the playoffs to get back to an AFC championship.
That wasn't the same year.
No, it was the next year.
Yeah, it was the next year.
That was
he beat both of them in the playoffs.
That was the year that the rumors were going on about Josh Allen and his girlfriend breaking up, and like Stephon Diggs was mad at him on the sideline. That was that game.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you're right that when he's healthy, it's hard not to put him right in that top conversation with Allen and Jackson as the next behind Mahomes. But he hasn't played a full season in half of his years in the league. He had the knee injury in his rookie season, which it's a little fluky, but he missed 7 games in 2023. And he's going to miss at least 7 this year, probably more. It's a very tough argument to make of, is he considered in that top tier when his team isn't making the playoffs, whether that's him being injured or the team around him not being good enough like last year, but they need him back ASAP because that schedule over the next month is brutal.
Yeah. I think with how bad the AFC North is right now, I don't think anything is going to be completely out of the picture except the Browns. But with the schedule, with the upcoming schedule they have, I don't think Joe Flacco is going to keep them. And that's no slight to Joe Flacco, but that defense is
terrible. Is bad. And as 2438 makes a good point here that the O-line has not been good enough for this team.
And they haven't for a while. And that's why I think Zach Taylor, depending on how this year goes, is probably going to get fired.
Yeah, I think that they need a new voice in that room.
It still hasn't fixed itself. And again, you still have Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is basically leading the team anyway. So.
Right. And as I said earlier, I think the I took you to a Super Bowl leash is starting to run out. Like, going to 100%. A Super Bowl does get you some years if you're 100%. A head coach. Like, that it does. And Zach Taylor might have been gone 2 years ago if they hadn't gone to the Super Bowl. But guess what? He didn't. So it's an interesting spot for the Bengals, especially because they are known for being one of the cheaper organizations in the league. And right now they're spending way more because you have Burrow and Higgins and Chase. But they also don't have much else besides that. Trey Hendrickson's going to be gone after this year. Shamar Stewart is looking like the bust that kind of everyone thought he was going to be.
They paid for Orlando Brown, and right. he hasn't played well.
That's the one investment that they've made in the offensive line, was going and getting Orlando Brown, and he's not worth the money that he's got. So the Bengals are in a tough spot.
And they haven't drafted well either. I mean, they have Burrow, and they have Jamar, and they have T.
Yeah.
But offensively, they took Jackson Carman, who was an offensive lineman in the second round. He's not good. They took Shamar Stewart. Shamar Stewart, still early, but hasn't shown that he was worth that first-round pick. So
Shamar Stewart's stats are so funny.
The secondary, they drafted a lot of those secondary guys, and yeah, they're terrible too.
Shamar Stewart this season has 6 tackles, no sacks, no tackles for loss. That is not what you want out of your first overall pick quarterback. But who could have guessed when he had 4.5 sacks over 3 years at Texas A&M?
And he was one of those guys that was probably viewed as a developmental prospect. But again, I asked the same question when Justin Fields went to the Jets. He was on the last leg of his career. Do you trust the New York Jets to get it right at quarterback?
Yeah.
The answer is no. Do you trust the Cincinnati Bengals to develop a developmental guy?
Yeah.
The answer is no, especially on defense.
The Bengals, they found the franchise quarterback, and they just can't seem to get anything else right around him. Wes in Clarksville says, I still don't think Burrow is that great. He got that Super Bowl hand wrapped to him by the Tannehill and the Titans, and that is fair. The Titans, that's...
But then he beat the Chiefs.
He did beat the... Right. He beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead the next week.
Now, that argument is running dry because, you know, that was so long ago, and he hasn't been healthy since. He already has 2 Comeback Player of the Year awards.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe gets another one next year.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he 70% completion percentage, 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 picks last year. It's hard not to look at that and say that that dude is the elite of the elite when it comes to quarterbacks. But if he can't stay on the field,
right,
and that team around him, if he has to win every game 42-40, it's just not going to work out.
And so, how much of the injury issue is on the offensive line?
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder the same thing. I have no doubt that Jim Harbaugh is going to get the offensive line right in L.A. They lost both of their tackles, which is very unfortunate. But at the rate that Justin Herbert's been getting hit this year, it honestly scares me.
Yeah, it is tough to develop a quarterback even when he is good. And right now the Bengals are hoping that they can get their star quarterback back out there as soon as possible. His practice window opened yesterday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones. We will get to them coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Tuesday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. We will give way to Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour down in Key West. Excited for that. Couple of texts I wanted to get to. I saved this one from Wes in Hermitage from earlier, hoping we could get to it. He says, Jake, I'm going to call you shortly about Cam Ward and the Titans. He said he got caught up with work. But he has to ask the question, if the draft was today and Cam was coming out in April with this group, where would he rank with the quarterback scheduled to hit the draft this year? And that's the point that I've been trying to make when we get all these texts about saying you should have traded down is, well, looking at where you are right now, you might have a chance to trade down this year. And you already drafted your franchise quarterback and get a year of development for him, a year of reps, so he can hit the ground running next year. And if Cam Ward was coming out in this draft as a prospect with what we knew about him coming out of Miami, he would be just as high as Ty Simpson and Fernando Mendoza, I think. I think it would be those three who were in a group, and we'd see who separates themselves in March and April as you go through the draft process. But Cam Ward would still be in that top conversation among quarterbacks because there is no generational prospect in this draft. And Cam Ward was a surefire first-round pick quarterback, which you take when you need a quarterback.
And two, he has two things that Ty Simpson and Fernando Mendoza don't have. The first being he has more starts in college, and that is very valuable to NFL draft scouts. And secondly, Ty Simpson and Fernando Mendoza can absolutely rip the ball, and they can make NFL-level throws all over the field. But Cam Ward adds the dimension to where if something breaks down, he can make something out of nothing.
The backyard football.
That I have not seen out of Fernando Mendoza and Ty Simpson. Now, that's not to slight them because the way they're playing football right now is very, very high level. But Cam Ward has that aspect that those two don't have.
I would argue Cam Ward has a higher ceiling than both of them, based on what he can do when things break down. Like you said, the arm talent, the escapability, and the backyard football. I think Cam Ward has a higher ceiling than Simpson and Mendoza. They might have a higher floor. But when the floor is a bust, no matter what, then I don't know if you don't draft quarterbacks based on floor. You draft them based on ceiling. And I think Cam Ward, if you look at the draft class coming out this year and Cam Ward, I think there's a good chance that Ward would go number one again. Maybe not. I could be wrong. I don't know what goes on in these NFL front offices. But just based on what we knew about Cam Ward as a prospect and what we know about Mendoza and Simpson, who are currently listed as the top two quarterbacks by most accounts in this year's draft, I think Ward would be right up there, if not going number one again. Adam in Portland says, knowing all we know about Brian Callahan, would you rather have Joe Burrow as your quarterback, but Brian Callahan has to be your head coach, or Cam Ward as your quarterback and Sean McVay would be your head coach? That's a good question. Because
repeat that one more time.
Would you rather have Joe Burrow as your quarterback, but Brian Callahan has to be your head coach, or Cam Ward as your quarterback and Sean McVay is your head coach?
I'm going with the second. Because I am a huge Sean McVay fan.
I really like McVay too. My hesitation is that I think Burrow has already been in that offense and has shown that he can succeed.
Oh my gosh. Now that I think about it, that is really tough. Like, because Joe Burrow was basically running the Bengals.
Right. Like, Callahan was there. I know he wasn't calling plays, and there's a lot more of head coaching stuff that Brian Callahan failed at, but I don't know. Adam says, knowing all we know about Brian Callahan, I would have to pick Cam Ward. I believe Callahan didn't have jack to do with Joe going to the Super Bowl. And I agree with that, but I'm saying that I think from what we've seen right now, Joe Burrow, I think, would be fine in that system. I don't know about that, but I also think Cam Ward with Sean McVay would be pretty good too. I don't know. That's a good question from Adam in Portland.
There are a lot of similarities to Matthew Stafford's game and Cam Ward's game, and I don't know if you had the chance to watch the Rams versus the 49ers on Sunday afternoon, but their offense is just beautiful.
Matthew Stafford, in the last six games, 20 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. It is beautiful. Gives me goosebumps.
You know, I'm kind of rethinking my decision. I think I would go Ward and McVay. I think Sean McVay has proven that he can develop quarterbacks. I mean, Jared Goff, here's another example. If you're looking for a quarterback who looked horrible in his rookie season and then found a head coach who could develop him, Jared Goff. Remember what Jared Goff looked like under Jeff Fisher in his first year. And we love Jeff Fisher, but Jared Goff was not good. And that's a large reason why the Titans got the number 5 overall pick from the Rams that year was because Jared Goff was not good. And then Sean McVay comes in and Jared Goff goes to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm rethinking it. I think Sean McVay could turn almost anybody into a good quarterback, and Cam Ward has the talent that I think McVay would thrive in that situation.
I agree 100%. Just watching that offense, that's typical Sean McVay. That is the peak of what Sean McVay is able to do on offense. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, that's a good question from Adam in Portland. And the Titans are looking to find that coach that can unlock Cam Ward, because Ward, I hate to say it, but it's kind of a wasted year for Ward this season. The reps are important, and getting adjusted to the NFL speed and the NFL game is important, but you have to learn a new system, which he's done before, and you're going to get new coaching from whoever comes in. I really hope that they can end up finding the right guy. This is the most important decision that they've had to make. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, let's hope Matt LaFleur comes loose, because I would be very happy if Matt LaFleur ended up being the head coach here. Adam in Portland says, I like both of your answers. I just think that no matter how awesome Joe Burrow is, he's going to have to find somebody who can protect him. And Brian Callahan and his buddy Zach Taylor have both failed at that extensively. It's true. And that's why I think Zach Taylor, if the Bengals don't turn this around quickly, whether Burrow's back or not, I think that that Zach Taylor could be shown the door relatively quickly. Again, it's not been good for the Bengals the last couple years, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That'll just about wrap things up for us here on the program. Appreciate everybody who has interacted with us today. Lots of great stuff on the phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big thanks to Darren Ambrose from Vandy Soccer for chiming in and coming on the show. Great job by his team over the last couple months, and excited to see them in the NCAA tournament. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us for the full show. We'll react to the college football playoff rankings that come out tonight and talk plenty of Titans. That's tomorrow. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live from Key West.